Got new research from the Disinformation Project that has found that tens of thousands of us are being exposed to what they're calling splintered COVID realities during that parliamentary protest. The director of the Disinformation Project, Kate Hannah, with us morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Is all this to be found on social media? Surprise, surprise.
Look, all of it is currently found on social media, but it doesn't mean that's the only place it's ever been found, and it is found other places. You know, these ideas are not just confined to social media. They're just having a time in the limelight through the exposure on social media.
Do you have to go looking for it, or will it find you?
To a certain extent, you have to go looking for it, but to the same extent, it will come and find you, because what happens is that people who find it, you know, think that this information is really important and they need to share it. And so that's when you start getting awkward, you know, WhatsApp messages from old friends or emails from old colleagues, etc. So it does get proliferated into places where people simply aren't out there looking for it.
Do you have any understanding when your people go, oh, this is important, I need to share it? At what point does logic get overtaken by madness, common sense get overtaken by just insanity?
Well, I think we have to understand that a lot of the disinformation we're seeing does have its roots in a kernel of truth. You know, conspiracy theories start from a kernel of truth or a kernel of somebody's lived experience. And that's why they have so much appeal, because they kind of tell a story that fits somebody's own experience of life or own kind of thoughts into a bigger pattern. And we're always all pattern-seeking, right?
But it goes to who you are, though, isn't it? You've got to be or have a level of gullibility in the first place to take that kernel of truth and exacerbate it out to the level that you clearly want to or do.
Well, sadly, the research shows us that the people who think they're the smartest are the most susceptible. So it's to do with actually being in that middle ground and going, I know a bit, but I don't know everything. So I'll, when I get told something, rather than just going straight to that person as an expert, I'll kind of have a look around more broadly and check out where they come from, yeah, where their expertise that they're claiming, you know, where they've gained that expertise, and what kind of platform or what kind of newspaper or you know, magazine are they writing in, you know. What are their credentials? The kind of thing that you would do every day, Mike.
Well, that is right. And dare I sound like a Luddite, but I'm not on social media and I feel better for it, especially after these last couple of years. I haven't been bombarded. I get bombarded at the station by it and I see it for what it is and it's dangerous. But I mean, if everyone got off social media, they'd be immeasurably better off in their mental health alone, wouldn't they?
Well, I'm not an expert in mental health, so I can't claim that. But I do think that one of the things that's happened is that, you know, for the last 2 years, the places where we might have normally found and sought community, and I think the important thing is that as adults or as young people, we need to live in a variety of communities. We need to live in communities that we do self-curate, where people share our interests or share our passions and share our viewpoints, but we also need to live in kind of awkward communities where they don't. And normally we would find those awkward communities where we don't share everything, but we share some things in places like workplaces, schools, churches, sports clubs, and we would have those communal shared experiences of loving one thing or sharing one thing, you know, at a concert or at a sports game or at the ballet or at the Readers and Writers Festival, you know, at all the different places that we haven't been able to go for 2 years. So I feel like that awkward community of, yeah, we get along because we share these values, but we don't love everything about each other, is actually the bit that we need to focus on.
Kate, appreciate your time very much. Kate Hannah, Director of the Disinformation Project. It's triggered you. It's a triggering event, all of this. If Costa had moved earlier, would we be decrying a police state? Damn, no matter what he did, and let's lay the blame where it belongs with the protest. It's another one, Mike. Let's get things in perspective. If you're only worried about the $2.5 million wasted on the protest by this government, it's only a drop in the bucket compared to the overall wastage of the past 5 years. But pennies and pounds, Scott, pennies and pounds. J.A., Jacinda, should have addressed the concerns of the protesters. That would have saved millions. Mike, if you think the millions of dollars wasted on the Wellington protest is eye-watering, try getting information about the police costs for the Auckland road borders during the four-month lockdown. I'm sure that'll be just as eye-watering. Mike, no, if Jacinda just went down to hear the protesters out and Mallard wasn't such a dick, just saying.